Widder heard pieces locking into place, metal against metal, connections linking up. The machine-filled wall suddenly became a squad of burly assassin droids assembled out of disguised components. The droids activated their weapons, forming a shooting gallery whose only purpose was to destroy stormtroopers. Winter had no need to issue commands. The assassin droids knew exactly what they were supposed to do. They had been programmed to ignore her and the Jedi children, but they knew their targets well. From all sides, the assassin droids opened fire on the five pursuers. The crossfire of deadly beams cut down the white-armored Imperials in less than 2 seconds, leaving only piles of smoldering wreckage, fused and melted armor, and useless weapons in dead hands. None of the stormtroopers had an opportunity to fire a single shot. One of the troopers groaned once, hissed in pain, then fell into the silence of death. The shadows cast a blanket over the carnage. Heaving a sigh of relief, Winter stepped over the bodies, which were still sizzling from the massacre. She looked down at the expressionless black visors of the Imperial enemy. "Never underestimate your opponent," she said. Ambassador Fergin crouched low as the stormtrooper sprinted ahead of him down the lumpy rock corridors. Fergin had no combat training and no experience, but he did his best to imitate his companion's fluid movements. He held his blaster rifle in hand, glancing down repeatedly to make sure the weapon was powered up. The tunnels were dim and shadowy, lit by white glow tubes mounted along the ceilings. The stormtrooper pressed his armor back against the wall and held his weapon around a corner to see if he drew any fire. Then he jogged down to the next intersection of tunnels. They passed door after door, unsealing each room, ready to snatch the helpless child and run back to their mat-ats. Fergin and the trooper found storage compartments filled with crates of supplies and equipment, the dining room, empty sleeping quarters, but no child. Far beneath them, Fergin heard the patter and distant echo of blaster fire. He glared back toward the sounds. "I told them not to shoot her down. Why didn't they listen to me?" He turned to the stormtrooper. "Now we'll have to find the child all by ourselves." "Yes, sir," the stormtrooper said, without expression. The next metal door was locked and sealed. No one responded when the stormtrooper hammered with his white gauntlet. He withdrew a pack of tools from his utility belt, removed a high-powered cutting laser, and slashed open the door's control panel. Moving with nimble fingers despite the thick gloves, he rewired the sparking controls. The door ground open, exposing the pastel colors of a room filled with toys, a plush bed, and a four-armed nanny droid backed into a protective position in the corner to shelter a small child. "Ah, here we are at last," Fergin said. He stepped inside, looking around for booby traps. The trooper flanked him, maintaining his defensive position, blaster rifle in hand. Fergin saw no other defenses, just the TDL droid. "Please leave," the nanny droid said in a sweet grandmotherly voice. "You are disturbing the baby." Fergin let loose with a full-throated laugh. "The only defense they managed was one nanny droid?" He chuckled again. "We sent an entire assault team to take a baby away from a nanny droid?" The TDL droid stood in front of the baby, who sat very still on the floor. The droid used her lower set of arms to unfold a blaster-proof metal apron from the base of her torso to shield the baby from stray laser fire. "You may not have this child," the droid said. "I must warn you that my programming is to protect him at all costs." "How touching. Well, I'm going to take that child, at all costs," Fergin said, nodding with a triumphant smile to the stormtrooper. "Go get the baby." The stormtrooper took one step forward. The droid held out all four hands in an imperative gesture to stop. "I'm sorry, but I cannot allow that," the nanny droid said calmly. "Close your eyes, baby Anakin." "What are you waiting for?" Fergin snapped at the trooper. "It's only a nanny droid." With a whir and a click, all four of the droid's hands detached and dropped to the floor, exposing the blaster barrels hidden in each of her wrists. "I am an enhanced nanny droid," she said with prim emphasis, "and you will not harm this child." She let loose with all four barrels, firing gouts of deadly energy. The four beams struck the approaching stormtrooper before he could swing up his blaster rifle. He was hurled back against the wall, shards of white armor flying away from smoking black wounds. Fergin yelled in astonishment and terror. He swung up his blaster rifle and depressed the firing button long before he took time to aim. A flurry of incandescent bolts sprayed across the room, reflecting from the pastel walls bouncing off the corners. Fergan ducked, but continued to fire. The nanny droid centered all four blaster arms on him, but Fergan raked his stream of blaster bolts across her rounded head and soft, flesh-encased torso, succeeding more through luck than skill. Sparks flew and molten metal showered in all directions. Beneath the blaster-proof apron, the baby began to wail. Bruise-colored lips curved upward in a smile. Fergan stepped over the debris of the nanny droid and the dead stormtrooper to retrieve the child. He reached down to grab one of little Anakin's arms and yanked him into the air by the cloth of his pajamas. Fergan wasn't quite sure how to hold a baby, especially one that continued to squirm as this one did. "Come with me, little one," he said. "You are about to begin a whole new life of galactic importance." 21. Han Solo longed to get closer to Kip Duran in the council chambers on Coruscant, wanting to comfort his young friend, but the armed New Republic guards surrounding Kip made it impossible for anyone to approach. Kip moved slowly, as if walking barefoot across shattered glass. His eyes were dull, his face was seamed with new lines, as if the dark spirit of Exar Kun had shed his 4,000 years of existence onto Kip's shoulders. The Sun Crusher had once again been impounded by New Republic security, and Mon Mothma had declared the entire area off-limits. There would be no further research into the workings of the superweapon. Kip's chaotic vengeance had demonstrated how horrible the Sun Crusher truly was. Inside the council chambers, the air smelled thick and oppressive from too much tension and too little ventilation. The stone added a musty old smell to the room. The place made Han uneasy and claustrophobic. The council members wore their formal uniforms like armor, frowning like ancient sentinels passing judgment. Some looked as if they hadn't had any rest. Han felt deeply troubled to be facing them without Leia. She had departed from Yavin 4 with Turpin, supposedly to go see Akbar, but he had not been able to learn what had happened to her. Leia certainly knew how to take care of herself, though, and he did not dare leave Kip alone with the predators here. Mon Mothma, flanked by her ever-present medical droids, seemed only partially aware of what was going on. None of the other council members had suggested removing her from office while she was still willing to attend meetings, though Mon Mothma contributed little. Han was stunned by how much the chief of state had worsened in just the last few days. One of the functionaries beside the sculpted door arch tapped on a long chime, sending a pure tone into the air to call the attendees to order. Han didn't know much about the protocol of government, but he didn't plan to stand by and do nothing while Kip was trounced by bureaucratic bigwigs. Before one of the members could speak, Han stepped forward. "Hey, could you let me put in a word for my friend Kip Duran?" Aging General Yan Dodonna hauled himself to his feet. Ancient and weathered, like a piece of gnarled driftwood, the bearded general still seemed filled with energy. His eyes flashed at Han.
"The prisoner may speak for himself, General Solo. He has certainly shown no reluctance to act for himself. Let him answer our questions now."
Chastised, Han stepped back and looked at the floor, tracing patterns made by cracks in the inset flagstones. Since Dodonna had the lectern, he leaned forward to look down at Kip. The young man lifted his tousled head and blinked sheepishly at the old tactician.
"Kip Duran," Dodonna said. "You stole the Sun Crusher. You attacked and temporarily incapacitated the Jedi Master, Luke Skywalker. You blew up the Cauldron Nebula and obliterated two other inhabited star systems. I will not debate the tactical significance of your actions, but we cannot tolerate juggernauts who make up their own orders and cause wholesale destruction on a whim."
The other council members agreed. General Raikin's deep, thick voice reverberated through the chamber. This council had already decided that the Sun Crusher would never be used. We disposed of it in a safe and protected place. But you knowingly thwarted our wishes. The other members fell quiet after Raikin's words. They seemed eager to add their own condemnations, but realized there would be little point in it. After a moment of silence, Kip spoke. His voice sounded impossibly thin and small, reminding Han and everyone else there just how young this boy was. "I have no excuse for my actions.
I'll accept the consequences. Even if your actions demand the death penalty? The obese Senator Reckenthorm asked. Such destruction as you have caused can warrant nothing less than execution.
Wait a minute, Han said.
The council members glared at him, but he ignored their silent rebukes. I know. But listen to me for a minute. Kip wasn't himself. He was possessed by the evil spirit of a Sith Lord who has since been defeated. And he did do some good. He destroyed Dala's fleet. How many lives did he save by doing that? We are at war, after all. Mon Mothma's words wheezed from her cracked lips. Her voice came out in a ragged whisper. The rest of the chamber fell into a deep hush as she began to talk.
Kip Duran, she said, you have the blood of millions, perhaps billions, on your hands. We are a governing body here, not a judicial council. We have no right to decide your fate. You,
she gasped as if using most of her energy just to fill her lungs.
You must be judged by the Jedi Master. We are not qualified to judge your crimes.
She raised one of her hands to gesture toward Han.
Take him to Yavin. Let Master Skywalker decide his fate.
22. Leia, Akbar, and Turpin joined the rescue party from the Galactic Voyager, swooping through the violet skies of Anna. Akbar took the lead in his own B-Wing. His weapon systems were powered up and ready to attack any ground assault team the Dreadnought had deployed. The starfighters soared over the fanged landscape toward the stone turret that Akbar and Luke had chosen for the base. Leia saw signs of damage that made her blood run cold, smoke and debris from an attack.
We're too late, she whispered.
Part of the spire had been blasted away, and soot splattered the eroded surface. Below, she saw the still smoldering remains of several horrific mechanical spiders. Akbar's voice came over the ship-to-ship intercom. Winter must be putting up a good fight. Our emplaced defensive systems are functioning as planned. Leia swallowed to clear her dry throat.
Let's just hope that's good enough, Admiral.
The fighters targeted in on where the blast doors had been melted aside. One of the heavy metal shields still hung in place in its tracks. The rescue ships maneuvered around the four walkers that cluttered the floor of the landing bay. Akbar, Leia, and Turpin sprang out of their cockpits as other Calamarian fighters joined them. Turpin, go with Minister Leia and half the fighters directly to the nursery. See if the baby is still there. I will take the other troops down into the lower levels to find Winter. I think I know what her strategy would have been. Leia, not bothering to argue, yanked out her own blaster pistol. With a hardened expression, she took the lead, running to see that her child was safe. The team swarmed down the maze of convoluted tunnels toward the nursery. Leia glanced around her as she jogged, but saw no signs of blaster fire on the walls. Weapons rattled against body armor as the Calamarians ran to keep pace with her. As they rounded the last corner toward Anakin's room, Leia swerved to keep from tripping over the slow-moving power droid who plodded along on its rounds, unconcerned with the turmoil. Leia paid the walking battery no further heed when she saw the door to the nursery yawning open.
Oh, no,
she said, lurching to a cautious stop, just as Ambassador Fergan backed out, clutching a squalling Anakin to his broad chest. Both Leia and Fergan froze for a moment, staring at each other. Fergan's eyebrows jerked up in a muscular twitch like birds about to leap into flight. The Calamarian rescuers leveled their weapons at Fergan. He held the baby in front of him like a shield.
Give Anakin back to me,
Leia said, her voice dripping with greater threat than the entire fleet of Star Destroyers could convey.
I'm afraid not,
Fergan said, and wrapped a broad hand around Anakin's fragile neck. His wild eyes flicked from side to side.
Point your gun away from me, or I'll snap his neck. I've gone through all this to get the Jedi baby, and I'm not going to give him up. He's my hostage, and the only way he stays alive is for you to let me go.
He edged along the tunnel, his back scraped against the rough, lumpy wall. Fergan locked his eyes on the weapons pointed at him, but he held the baby out, squeezing the boy's throat.
Even if you stun me, I can still crush his windpipe. Drop your weapons.
Back off, Leia ordered, taking a step backward. The Calamarian defenders stepped to the side, clearing a path for Fergan,
all except Turpin. He stood holding his hands in front of him like sharp claws. Fergin saw the swollen, sagging Calamarian head, the tracery of blunt scars, and suddenly recognized him.
"So, my little fish, you betrayed me after all. I didn't think you had the strength of will."
"I found the strength,"
Turpin said. He stepped toward Fergin. Anakin continued to squirm in the ambassador's arms.
"Stop," Fergin said. "You have enough on your conscience, little fish. You wouldn't want to add the death of this baby to it."
Turpin made a low gurgling noise that was some kind of Calamarian snarl. Fergin kept his wild gaze fixed on all those cornering him as he slid backward toward the spider walkers and his only escape. In his grasp, baby Anakin's deep brown eyes flashed as if he were deep in thought. Suddenly, Fergin cried out as he stumbled against the squarish, waddling power droid that had silently crept up behind him. The power droid gave out a small jolt of electricity, shocking Fergin. The ambassador tripped and fell, still holding the child. The power droid shuffled out of the way with a squeal of something like terror. As the Calamarian defenders snatched up their weapons again, Turpin lunged forward to grab the baby out of Fergin's hands. The other Calamarians fired at Fergin, but the squat man rolled across the floor, got to his knees, and launched himself around the corner, moving far faster than Leia would ever have thought possible.
"After him," Turpin cried. He passed baby Anakin to Leia and dashed off in pursuit of Fergin.
As hot tears flowed from her eyes, Leia hugged her youngest son, trying to find words that would console him. But nothing came to mind, so she just made cooing noises. She sank to the floor, rocking him back and forth. Akbar's broad feet slapped on the stone floor as he ran deeper into the catacombs. His lungs burned in the dry air, but still he insisted on more speed. He pulled ahead of the others. So far, Winter had followed exactly the guidelines he had established for defense of the base. He knew from the wreckage outside that the foreign intruder defense organism had done its job, eliminating half the spider walkers before they could breach the blast doors. But it had not been enough. Winter would have proceeded down to trigger the camouflaged assassin droids. The other team members clattered behind him. He could smell dust and engine oil in the dry air, and also a sharp, damp smell like copper and smoke. Blood. The robed form of Winter sprang around the corner, holding a blaster in front of her, ready to fire. But she froze. For just an instant, a smile of delight crossed her face.
"Akbar, I knew you would come."
Akbar strode toward her, resting his hand on her arm.